I'm proud to be from a city that had the riots, and people thought, you know what, we live on these streets, we're gonna fight for these streets, we've seen something unjust happening, so we're gonna fight for it. I'm proud to be from a place of resistance, you know, both Jamaica and Bristol.
The Bristol Cable Podcast.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's bigger than, yeah. It's the return of the hijabi b-girl click spit. Intergalactic words unthrown. Now we ain't no showgirls, Muslim chick with an itch to spit skits.
My name is Manera. I'm one half of a hip-hop and spoken word duo called Poetic Pilgrimage.
Hi, my name is Sakina. I'm one half of Poetic Pilgrimage. We are also educators, workshop facilitators, students of life. We're just women of art and culture and education.
I'm originally from St. Werbert's in Bristol. Now I live in London, but still see myself as a Bristolian.
I'm originally from an area in Bristol called Easton. So Easton is 100% home. Bristol is home.
I think there's a lot of interest around the fact that we're Muslims, because it's not often you see Muslim women really in public spaces articulating themselves using hip-hop. We were the subject of a film called Hip Hop Hijabis. Hip Hop Hijabis essentially is a film about our journey as Muslim women, and not just as Muslim women, but as friends who are on a journey to doing something unique and something quite special. Our decision to start Poetic Pilgrimage wasn't really political. It was a question of who's going to represent us. It was a question of, we don't see any role models. We don't see people who speak from our point of view. You know, being young, black, British-born Bristolians changed the view of how black women were portrayed in the media. The first music that I heard would have been from my parents, from my immediate family, so like from my dad. But aside from that, I mean, there's something really unique about Bristol. Being from a city where the community is pretty tight-knit, you know, if you're living in St. Werbert's, Easton, Montpellier, St. Paul's, pirate radio stations, you know, I was heavily inspired and influenced by them. So my maternal cousin, he was a pirate radio station DJ, and my paternal cousin, like, he's Ronnie Size, extremely inspirational. My other cousin, he was a part of a sound system, being from the city of Tricky, Massive Attack, of Smith and Mighty, 3PM crew, you know, the legacy of Bristol music inspired me, and just the community vibe in Bristol, you know, like, especially amongst people with a sort of Pan-African outlook, taught me about community. You have community centres like The Mill, like Malcolm X, you know, like all of these different places were extremely inspirational. I'm getting quite emotional thinking about it. But in like teaching us this, being around that sort of supportive network of people who cared about you.
It's a spirit of resistance, the sound of revolution, the problem and solution. It's a pedigree of pen, weaponry, it's
up. There's a lot of inequality and injustice with the working class in this country. You know, there always has been. It's not a case of, like, you know, black people or brown people have come to the country and suddenly there's like a big working class or a big white working class. Particularly when it comes to sort of like race relations. Somewhere like Bristol, for example, the wealth that was flooded into that city was based on slave trade. It was labour and it was the blood and it was the lives of my ancestors that is the reason why Bristol is what it is.
My family raised me as a proud Jamaican, proud of their heritage, proud of the contribution that Jamaicans have made to the world. A lot of the current inhabitants of Jamaica, are descendants of people who migrated there, forced migration, right? And in that forced migration, the terrors and violence of, like, enslavement, throughout all of that, now you have this island, which, yes, has its problems, like, but when you look at the output of Jamaica, what Jamaica has contributed to the world, that heritage has given me a lot of strength, a lot of pride, a lot of dignity, given me a sense of justice. And then, you know, we think about things like having the riots. You know, I'm proud to be from a city that thought, you know what, if these people aren't going to employ us, to drive buses, then why should we be using these buses? Again, a place of protest.
I'd say the most influential faith for me growing up was definitely Rastafarianism. You know, when I used to go to the gatherings and I used to go to the kind of the ceremonies that used to take place in the Kwarumba Centre, which at the time was called the Inkwork Centre. For me, it was very powerful, the drumming and the music and the chanting and, you know, the herb and everything. Those are the most memorable spiritual experiences I had. When you're raised and you kind of, you're aware of Rastafarianism and you're aware of Christianity and you're kind of like asking questions like, so who's Haile Selassie? But what about Jesus? But what about this? And so I think from a child, I was always asking questions within myself, you know. And so I was, I suppose, prepared for a spiritual journey. I was, you know, by the time I got to university, I was kind of, in a way, inspired by so many different faiths. I was inspired by Rastafarianism. I was inspired by ancient Egyptian spirituality. I was inspired by yogic spirituality. There were so many things that was really, like, I would say, definitely informing my character and informing my soul. And just before I became a Muslim, I think I almost had like a patchwork of spiritual practices and experiences that had become me. When Islam came into the equation, I don't think it was a shock for my parents. Obviously, any family are going to have reservations if you're converting post 9/11. Of course, there are going to be reservations about, you know, terrorism and stigmatization and marginalization. I think any female who converts to Islam, their family are going to be very nervous about the role of women. You know, I spoke to my dad about it and my dad was just like, well, I really respect Islam, particularly when it comes to discipline. He was just like, as long as you know your rights as a woman, that's the most important thing. And for my mum, I think my mum's main concern was just that I didn't lose myself, I didn't lose my creativity, that I didn't lose my identity. Mum kind of saw that I was still me, that I was still the same person.
When people see Muslim women, sometimes people don't see us, first of all, they hear our music. And then when they're like, oh, wow, she's wearing a hijab. You know, all the stereotypes that people are bombarded with about Muslim women being oppressed, about Muslim women walking behind their men, about Muslim women being Asian only, you know, people then start to see the humanity of us. And, you know, it's not going to change everyone's mind, but like it goes a long way to changing stereotypes. In terms of touring as a Muslim woman, it's been absolutely amazing. I give thanks in Great Britain, in Europe, or in other parts of the world where we think, what? Why are they going to want us there? What are they going to say? People are like really accommodating, like, how can I help you in terms of food? Do you feel safe? Are you okay? It can be tricky because you do encounter this sort of passive-aggressive racism, but the good far outweighs the bad. In this time of growing Islamophobia, what I would say to young Muslims is, first and foremost, be safe. We have to go a long way in trying to preserve ourselves. Our parents are sometimes more strict than other parents because they're trying to preserve our life and the society that is stacked up against us, you know. And I think, make sure we are in safe spaces, make sure we think about how we're getting home. Yet at the same time, we have to be able to express ourselves artistically and politically. And because if we don't, then we are just going to sit by and see people decide what is best for us. We have to be ready to talk about the things that are happening to us. And this is not just as young Muslims, this is as people generally. And sometimes this may be scary, but find a community that's supportive, find people, and that community doesn't have to be your religious community. It could be friends, it could be whoever. As a person, you can speak to like thousands of people without stepping outside of your house. And it's a great time to speak. Know that your voice, your words are important. People can expect to be surprised by how much they may relate to us and some of the challenges that people face when converting to Islam, and also some of the challenges that people face, or Muslim women face, when trying to make music as well.
So we've come to the end of this pilgrimage, and I hope you enjoyed our humble offering, Star Women, the mixtape. This concept was born many moons ago, and we're glad to finally have it here to present for you.